So this week we are examining the concept of justice, of godly justice, and the character of Inspector Javert from Victor Hugo's classic novel, Les Misérables. Before we talk about him, though, let's first try to understand what biblical justice looks like. Tzedek, the Hebrew word for divine justice, is a key value in the Hebrew scriptures and is woven throughout the books of scripture in explicit and implicit ways. The first five books of the Hebrew scriptures are called the Torah, the word for law. Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy spell out specific behaviors and expectations God has for God's people, including the commands to care for widows and orphans and foreigners dwelling in the midst of the people. Because these categories of people were at great risk. They did not own property. There was no social security system, no refugee center, no safety net to protect them. So godly justice for these and other vulnerable people included provisions for life, for food, for shelter, for a place and a representation in the community. In the prophecies of Isaiah and elsewhere, the people were reminded to seek justice and encourage the oppressed and defend the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. The psalmists carried the concepts of justice into their prayers. Just a few weeks ago, my sermon examined Psalm 72, one of the royal psalms, which begins with the words, "Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness, because he will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor." The Psalms also bear witness to the belief in and desire for godly justice to prevail in the land and among all the people. And justice was not just for the king. God's people are commanded to follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God has given you. The prophet Micah answers his own question when he writes, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Justice and righteousness in the Hebrew scriptures are synonyms. The decrees for Sabbath rest one day in seven, for sabbatical years every seventh year, for a jubilee every 50 years, were meant to restore balance and set relationships right. They were to result in a restored sense of godly justice and righteousness through reconciling with God and with God's law. Every 7 years, debts were to be forgiven, slaves set free, and fields left fallow. The prophet Amos had a vision of God holding a plumb line, measuring how far out of alignment the people had drifted when they failed to honor these commandments and restore their relationships with God, one another, and the land. The Hebrew scriptures also included explicit rules of accountability in relationships. Found also in the Torah, these rules read, "If there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise." And at first glance, that sounds like harsh corporal punishment. The intent, however, was accountability. If you caused harm to someone else in such a way that their ability to earn a living and care for their family was jeopardized, your punishment should reflect that harm. So Jesus grew up with these words and these traditions, these calls for justice and righteousness embedded in his faith. What he said about justice in Matthew's gospel, though, went beyond the letter of the law. "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, turn the other cheek. If anyone wants your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Give to the one who asks, do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." In other words, do more than the minimum. Don't stop at what is just. Do what is compassionate, loving, kind, merciful. That Galilean crowd who gathered to hear Jesus' Sermon on the Mount included fishermen and tax collectors, the recently healed, women and children. I imagine they didn't understand Jesus' words a whole lot more than we do. They might have struggled even more with this extreme generosity Jesus encourages. Perhaps as much as 85% of the society in Jesus' time were living at or below the poverty line. Now, often a cloak served double duty as a blanket for the night. A poor man likely only had one, but if someone wants to sue you for your shirt, hand over your cloak too? Give it up willingly? That's a pretty tall order. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek to them as well, but that's a major insult to be slapped like that. How do we just let that go? Following the law, that's pretty clear. Choosing to go beyond the law, that gets into some pretty gray territory. Which is where Inspector Javert finds himself in the novel Les Miserables. When we first meet him, Javert has charge over the prison labor camp where Jean Valjean is serving out his term. The day Valjean receives his freedom, Inspector Javert is quick to remind him he must always show that yellow ticket that marks him, declares him as an ex-convict. He must regularly present himself to a parole officer. If he fails, he will be in violation of the terms of his parole. He will be hunted, captured, returned to prison. No gray area here. The law is very clear. Jean Valjean discovers his status in that yellow ticket means he can't escape his past. After his encounter with the priest, who shows him tremendous grace and compassion, Valjean tears up the yellow ticket, takes a new name, and begins a new life. Of course, the minute he fails to show up at a parole appointment, Inspector Javert begins to search for him. For years, Javert is always just one step behind Valjean, but the two finally come face to face once more in Paris. Valjean has allied himself with a group of young rebels ready to take a stand against the French army and the injustices of the French leadership. Javert is posing as a rebel, but is in fact spying for the army. One of the rebels identifies him, and the men turn on him, planning to execute him, and Valjean steps forward. He asks for the job, but once the two of them are alone, Valjean releases Javert. And we hear the echo of Jesus' words. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you. Inspector Javert is confounded. He thought he understood criminals. He was born in jail to a mother who had broken the law. He spent his life carrying out justice. Honest work, just reward, that's the way to please the Lord has been his motto. There are no extenuating circumstances in his theology, no gray areas when it comes to interpreting the law. Javert has no mercy for a woman who turns to prostitution in order to see her child fed, no compassion toward a boy who steals bread because he is starving, and he has no way to reconcile that the desperate thief he has hunted for so long has now shown him mercy. Javert wrestles with the question, shall his sins be forgiven? Shall his crimes be reprieved? And in the end, it is too much for him. Plagued by doubt, Javert ends his own life. He understood eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but not go the extra mile. He heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but he missed the part about love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. His idea of justice still fits in a neat little box. He forgot, or maybe he never learned, that Jesus dwells in the gray areas, blurring the lines of those neat little boxes until they disappear. Godly justice undoes Inspector Javert. Maybe it undoes us just a little bit too, because if we're honest, there are moments when we really like the Hebrew Scriptures part that says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, until we realize that that means perpetuating harm. If we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will be a blind and toothless nation, noted Martin Luther King Jr. So maybe, at least sometimes, we prefer Sermon on the Mount justice. Maybe we like that until it's our cloak and tunic, until it's us who are asked to go the extra mile, until it's our cheeks that are reddened and bruised, because we like Sermon on the Mount justice until we're asked to love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. And maybe we don't really know how to do that today. As we watch Russia continue its invasion of the Ukraine, killing citizens, destroying churches, threatening nuclear power plants, oppressing people, threatening the vulnerable, trampling on freedom. Tzedek, godly justice, calls us to stand with the oppressed. And that we do. We stand with Ukraine. We support humanitarian aid and refugee resources. We may even support military aid for Ukraine. Maybe like St. Augustine, we see the need for a just war in order to bring about peace. But really, we'd still also like some of that eye for eye, tooth for tooth justice here. We would like to see Putin suffer in kind for the suffering he's brought on others. We'd also really like to see the Russian army lay down their weapons and beat them into plowshares and replant Ukraine's farmlands and sunflower fields. And we know it would be the Christian thing to do to pray for Putin and the oligarchs who fund him, but man, that is hard. We are feeling less like Jean Valjean with his deep mercy and compassion, and a little more like Javert with his cut and dried and very human desire for justice, and I don't mean the godly sort. So maybe the prayer we most need today is for us and for the enemy within us. The enemy that seeks to harden our hearts against other humans, against Russian humans. The enemy that craves vengeance. The enemy that desires to carry out judgment instead of leaving that to God. So maybe if we start there with a prayer to empty our own hearts of hardness and vengeance and judgment, then maybe as we pray for the people of Ukraine, for President Zelensky, for the allies and the humanitarian aid agencies, maybe then the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit will enable us to also make room in our hearts to pray for Vladimir Putin, for the oligarchs, the strategists, and the soldiers carrying out orders. I am borrowing words from my colleague, Colleen Montgomery, who shared this morning. Gracious God, free the hearts of all people from the wants to divide us, from greed and envy, harsh misunderstandings and ill will, fear and desire for revenge. Guide world leaders toward building peace and safety for all people wherever they are. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Jesus said. A tall order, and one I know I will never perfectly fulfill. But with God's help, I will try. Will you join me? Amen.